Welcome to No More Leadership BS. We are a group of folks who just like leadership and like BS, as we call it out left, right, and center. We've got Myra, Jeff, Geoff, and Jeff, and I'm Dr. Sam, and we're going to chat today about what we like in leadership in terms of the maybe, the what if, the might be, otherwise known as curiosity. Two episodes ago, we had a conversation that ended up in the green room, and we're teasing a little bit about very famed actor Jeff Goldblum and his proclivity for the curiosity and how he is just a perennially curious individual, wants to know more things about more things all the time. And the more we discuss it, and over my right shoulder on my wall, be curious, not judgmental. Curiosity is an element in all of our world, and the degree to which we use it, that's the biggest variable. It's always there. So what I want to ask the group is, when you see a leader, and we're going to start with the negative, a leader who does not exhibit curiosity, what kind of traits or behaviors do you see when curiosity is not present?
Oh, I got to jump in there.
Dive.
One of the first things I see is when they're not curious is chaos. You're either curious or you're in chaos because you're not finding out possibilities. You're not looking at the big picture or the what ifs or something. So you end up smack in the middle of what you didn't want, and that's chaos. And you react rather than be proactive. I would go so far as to say that curiosity is a basic requirement of leadership.
So for the person who is a stereotypical, maybe even in a bad way, leader, I'm in charge. Give me the information. I'll make the decision. We're doing it this way. Is curiosity an element in that kind of leadership?
Oh, absolutely. Because the curiosity is missing because all the thinking about is what they want, what they have, where they're at. But there's no curiosity to seek out where your team members are, what they're thinking about it, what they can offer to the solution. Maybe there's a better solution.
When I think of lack of curiosity, I think of not being motivated. I think of automaton. I think of same thing day in, day out. I think of the leaders in charge. They'll do as I say, not as I do. No vision, no excitement. Those are the things I think of when you say those words. I can't fathom that because it makes me itch. You know, because that's not me, because it's always the, this is great. How can we be better? What can we do different? Let's do something. Because I get bored. I'm a high eye. I can get bored really easily. When I'm always looking for a new fundraiser, I want to do a fundraiser that no one else is doing. I do my share of golf tournaments and chocolate events and wine events and auctions. And I do all that stuff. But what's different? What can we do? Let's do a 10K. No, I'm not going to do it. Let's do a polar plunge. I can get my friend Jeff McLaughlin to chair that event, and then he could be the face of that event, and he will go do that event. And I will just coordinate it.
In the cold water. Let's do it. 1,000 people. Let's go.
That's a lot. I cannot let this go because it's an audio podcast. Conroy's face when he was describing a lack of curiosity said to me, blue cheese soaked in vinegar wrapped in barnyard. He just was not having it.
It hurts me. How can you not have an imagination? That just hurts me. How do you live? Right.
I just checked the fuel gauge. We're low on Jeff's. So what say you, Geoff or Jeff?
Well, it's interesting because you were saying that lack of curiosity. To me, that shows a lack of value. Ooh. That the person who is no longer in curiosity is not finding value in the other people or the other ideas. And that to me says, oh, that's not a good place to be, because all innovation, all advancement of humankind has stemmed from curiosity. Yeah. And when you stop the curious, that's just, I don't want to stop being curious until I'm dead. And I'm really curious about what happens next. Come on. I want to be in that state of mind always, because it helps you discover. It helps you find the nooks and crannies where true genius lies. And if you're not curious about how do things get better? How do we function better as a team? How do we optimize profits? How do we optimize this? It's the Japanese theory of Kaizen. If you move a garbage can 2 inches, how does that change the function of an entire organization? It gives you X amount. It gives you 2/10 of a second less in your day that you have to do something. 2/10 of a second. If we've got 1,000 people, I don't math. So I don't know. That's a number.
But bigger number, for sure.
It's a bigger number than 2/10 of a second.
But I'm curious how much bigger.
I'm curious how much bigger. And I don't have a calculator on me right now. But that's the thing. It's like a state of curiosity is required for advancement to be better. If you don't have curiosity, you're going to be stuck where you're at forever. And that to me is a really daunting, abysmal, and sad place to be.
100%. Mm-hmm. Painful. It's painful, I tell you.
Gosh. I'd be curious as to how to get out of it.
I would. I can't even fathom it. It hurts.
Yeah. Brain is breaking right now.
I can't even talk. It hurts.
So, Guy, before Conrad breaks into a full-blown case of hives, what can you share for our conversation?
Just because it's low-hanging and easy, I'm curious why you asked me that question.
It has wonderful insights, and that is not debatable.
Don't read into that.
Yeah. But what I was thinking of was I learned very young that curiosity killed the cat.
Mm-hmm.
When you think about it, is teaching me or trying to teach me, whether it was on purpose or accidentally, teach me to not be curious, right? Mm-hmm. Don't be curious or it will kill you. If you try something you've never done before, it will kill you. You all, as listeners to the podcast, you've heard me say before, when I became the president and CEO of a small bank and I went and told my parents, hey, I got this job as a president and CEO of this bank, my father said, what makes you think you can do that?
Yeah.
He was afraid for me. And go back and listen to that episode. I don't remember which one it was, but I was curious, could I do it? I thought I could. Go back and listen to our episode about the difference between competence and confidence to hear about those things. But curiosity, and I agree with all of you, that curiosity is what makes us get out of bed in the morning.
Yes.
Whether you realize it or not, and I guess my point is we need to be intentional about realizing that we need to be curious. It's what moves us forward. Yes, I haven't done that, but I haven't done a cold plunge before, but I've got a strange feeling today that before my life's over, I'm going to be in the cold water with McLaughlin.
Yep.
I just think it's going to happen.
Bitch and complain about it, but I'm going to do it.
Oh, I know it. I'll be right there with you, Conroy, and we'll be screaming every blue word we know. And
it'll be a headphone episode.
It will be. It helps. And it's going to be fun, and we're going to learn something about ourselves.
Oh, we're going to learn each other
and all that stuff. So, yeah, this.
Oh, yeah, baby. We're going to learn something.
Yeah. I'm putting on my mute.
Focus. but the whole curiosity thing, I'm with McLaughlin. You have to be curious. And in fact, I think most of us are, even when we don't recognize it. And curiosity necessarily isn't going to kill you. Don't stick your tongue in a light socket or something like that. But
do that again.
Think about that. The whole, it's not Dumb and Dumber. What's the guy? They just did stupid things all the time and recorded
Jackass.
Themselves.
Jackass. Yeah.
That was the whole thing. Well, I'm going to do whatever it was they were doing just to see what happens.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now, maybe injury. Not go to.
Injury is what happens.
Yeah. Injury, right? Death in some cases.
Yeah.
So don't go to that extreme. But boy, I wonder what'll happen if I go talk to my coworker that I don't think she likes me. Maybe I should go talk to her. Be curious mm-hmm. about why that is. It doesn't have to be an injury. Yeah, it doesn't have to be a cold plunge. It can be something. Just why don't I go say hi to somebody?
Yeah. Right.
So there's a couple of themes there that I like. The curiosity killed the cat, but they rarely append to that. Apparently, the cat has 9 lives. So if you're going to spend those lives, why not spend it being curious?
Well, there you go, Sammy. Yes, yes.
Leave it to Preacher, Dr. Brother. Sam. Leave it to Dr. Sam.
Perspective shift. Wow.
Yeah.
I have to jump in here one more time because I was born probably more curiouser than 99% of the people I know. I just made up an Indiana word. I'm so curious that I get lost in encyclopedias. Just on my way to looking up something, I hit on something interesting and I have to read about it. And the point I'm trying to make here is anything done to excess is going to have consequences. One of the things that I have to stop myself saying, I wonder, because in my brain, if I say, I wonder, I have to know the answer. And no matter what I'm doing, I have to know that answer. And I don't stop until I find that answer. That could take hours, days. Curiosity is a good thing. And overabundance of curiosity is got to be regulated, just like anything else that we enjoy, because there's nothing I like better. It is a blessing and a curse if you allow it to be. My point in saying that is, yes, be curious. If you're already curious, don't let it be a failing.
Mm-hmm. It's like walking on a treadmill. You never get anywhere. You're walking, but you're not getting anywhere. Yeah. You're working hard, not going anywhere. You're spinning the wheels.
But it sure is fun. To say, I wonder, and then...
It is fun. And
yeah, and then go on the internet and just... And then you find, oh, this, I wonder, and this. And you never did find out your answer. But appendix to that is the fact that curiosity is important to creativity. Creativity is in... It happens in two places. It happens in your mind first. That's called curious ideation. And then it happens in the physical realm. So if you don't have the curious ideation, then you're just going to be regurgitating by rote leadership. And that is never very inspiring.
And as we described the value of leadership and things to avoid, and Guyer was teasing about, don't stick your tongue in a light socket. A, still don't do that. But being curious does not mean being uninformed. Yeah. You don't have to test every stupid thing out there to make sure it still doesn't work and the laws of physics apply to you also. So when things are out there, right, take a hike out in the mountains, wonder what's over that ridge. Ooh, it would be a blue whale. No, it definitely cannot be a blue whale. And they'll find out. So don't be curious about that. Be curious about something that actually could exist. So to that point, I'm going to ask you to stop driving if you're driving. Just take a second and prepare yourself for this next section, because we want to hear from you. As we're going to talk about episodes and situations where curiosity got us to a whole new level, and how curiosity served us, and we've seen it serve others as leaders. Friends, please tell me, when was a moment that you saw or experienced curiosity take you or your team to a whole new level?
I was in theater, and theater's notorious for a lot of curiosity on how to do things, how to play, how to become a character. Are you a method actor? What do you do to get into character? But I remember being a tech person and going, wait a minute, we only have so many hours left in order to finish a project. We literally had to stop, like we were going gangbusters, and it was like we were spinning our wheels and we were not getting stuff done. And there came a moment when all of a sudden we go, we have to do something differently if we're going to get this production actually on stage in front of an audience that is already paid for tickets, because we're not going to finish. And we stopped everything. Everybody stopped, like the whole shop shut down, and we all went out to the loading dock and we started having a conversation, and there was colorful language. There was maybe some yelling. There was almost some fist bites, because there was a lot of frustration because we weren't getting the thing done that we were literally being paid to do. Mm-hmm. And we had a full on come to Jesus meeting, and holy cows, we said, okay, new plan. Everybody's going to work on one thing, because we'd all been dividing our time. And some people were not as efficient as others. But as soon as we said, all right, everybody, and we had to be curious about it. We had to be curious on how are we going to simply do this thing, because we only have so many hours left. What are we going to do? And we had to come together and realize that all of our talents together on one project was far more efficient to get everything done. Because we could get that thing done. Cool. Check it off the list. Go next. What's here? Go. And I'm not kidding. It was literally down to minutes before the curtain opened, but we got it done. Right. And stress level through the roof. I thought I was going to have a heart attack in my early 20s. And there was many alcoholic beverages consumed after that because we actually finished it. But that's a whole different story, and that could take us down a rabbit trail. But that's, yeah, just curiosity of like, how are we going to do this? Because we're going to all going to get fired.
Mm-hmm. What I'm hearing is a problem is identified, and we have to agree that there's a problem. And then a solution, it's a wide open door. Like, what in the world do we do? And the curiosity of what's the right answer? Let's have one in my back pocket. So we got to explore and figure it out. And the conversation to get to the answer was not, oh yeah, that's great. Let's do that together. Whee! If you're talking about fisticuffs on loading dock, you're got some heat, right? So it's not always easy, but it gets you to a good outcome, or at least it has a potential to do. Very cool. Who's next, friends?
I would say mine, Sam, was when I first got leadership responsibility, I was like, cool, man, I'm the boss. And didn't really understand what it took to be an effective leader. Didn't have any clue really at all other than this misguided belief that the boss wore a three-piece suit and carried a briefcase and had a three martini lunch and was a scratch golfer or something. I don't know. And it became very apparent that wasn't going to work or doesn't work and wasn't working. I was curious enough to go, wait a minute, there are people leading organizations and they seem to be happy and successful and all that stuff. I wonder what I need to know. And so just that, and it was an internal thing for me, curiosity to go, I know this isn't an impossible task because people are doing it. So why don't I go find out what the people that are successful at it are doing? And I started, and I know this is part of Conroy's story too, started reading books and started talking to people and reading more books and just curious enough to figure out what does it take to be an effective leader. Yep. And here's the thing, and listen closely to this. I've been doing it for decades and I'm still doing it because I think I can be a better leader than I am today.
Mm-hmm. But that's leadership. Leaders are always learning.
There you go.
Leaders are humble enough to know that they don't know it all. But they'll surround themselves with people who do. That's important.
I mean, and those people we surround ourselves with have the same mentality, right?
Yeah.
So we should have been talking about that recently.
Like a familiar topic. Yeah.
Let's go in our time machine, go back and do an episode about that. Then we'll do the curiosity episode. This is complex, y'all. This is so good. So we're low on time. Jeff Meyer, what else do you have to share?
Just to piggyback on Mr. Geyer. Same thing. I've talked about it before. When I first became a leader, I thought it was the coolest thing in the planet. And I've got all the answers, that tortured genius. And when I come to find out that people weren't following me and maybe I don't know it all. So I started reading books and I started surrounding myself with great people. And I started just learning and absorbing and still in process. I've been doing this for 30 some years and I'm still learning. And I think every leader needs to be learning all the time because leadership evolves. Where top-down hierarchical organizationals used to be the standard, the gold standard, ain't the standard anymore. It's more participation. And I call it the web of inclusion, but it's more diagonal and up and down and sideways and every small groups and ad hocs. And it's not top-down anymore. So leaders are always learning. Sorry, Meyer, go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's okay. I just very quickly... is my biggest aha moment of curiosity how it works with one of my team members is how do you take a bad situation and turn it into a growth situation? Mm-hmm. And I had a wonderful top class buyer's agent on my team. And she had one hang up, and that was she was a people pleaser. Now, if you are involved in real estate, then you know that they do not mix. People pleasing and real estate just does not work together because somebody's going to get hurt. And as it turned out, she did. And she called me devastated, crying so hard because these people had basically jilted her. And in her language, that means I don't like you, and went with somebody else. Only thing is she ran into them at a property. So she not only was hurt, she was confronted with it. I hated that for her. I hated to see her hurt, but I also knew that this was going to continue. I thought, what can I do to turn this into a learning, growing situation rather than just be a comforter? Because that was not going to help her grow. And as it turns out, she needed to start doing buyer's representation agreements and that kind of stuff. And I won't bore you with the details, but she didn't want to, but I insisted and I led her into insistence. I'll put it that way. I guided her down a narrow, very narrow path. Mm-hmm. And she, even today, although we're no longer together, she refers back to that as one of her biggest growing moments because she didn't think she could do it.
Right.
And she passed over the bridge of people pleasing. I think she'll always have it. She's high eye. She hates it when somebody doesn't like her. But she learned to bypass that by recognizing the situation in advance.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. And as we obviously need to be wrapping up because we're about an hour and a half over time, there's also some small things that leaders can do to use curiosity, that power, to help them serve their people, not necessarily be influential, but definitely help their folks. And we've touched on some today. Just being curious is part one. Part two is, what do you do about it? Do you go read something else, ask more questions? What is it? When I was working with my own team, I would ask questions a lot. And two questions that came up a lot were, when somebody would say something, I would say, I got a phrase or something that seemed a little bit squishy and ask, what does that mean to you? Not what do you mean by, but what does that mean to you, to get their perspective? And then secondarily, just the prompt. Tell me more about this.
Yep.
I don't have enough information. Please. I'm really curious. And so as you're listening and wondering what little elements you can bring out of this podcast to put into your daily practice, it doesn't have to be big, wide swaths of change. Little things. Asking one more question, making one fewer assumptions, any small amount can help you have more curiosity in your leadership journey. And with that, we're going to remind you to email us any questions you have that are printed to us. If they're not printed to us, definitely email them because we got to hear about this question that has nothing to do with us because we are insanely curious. Ask us at leadershipbs.co. And we have all information in the show notes. Come to our pages on the podcast pages, give us 5-star reviews, social media, all that good stuff, because we want to hear from you. We want your engagement because we are, I'll say it again, curious about what you like in your experience and what you want to see from us. And with that, we've got Myra, Jeff, Geoff, Jeff, and I'm Dr. Sam. Listen to us next week. Bye.
Bye. Letterbuck.